This is the order of battle!
This is an Operation Recall concept creator interview. Last year, I sat down with Cody Ivey, the concept creator for Alpha Dog, which was Wave 4, Figure 4, and is now Salty Dog. I've had this interview for a while, and since we talked, Operation Recall has moved forward with package design and sculpting. So we didn't talk about those things, because that's not where Operation Recall was a year ago. I hope you enjoy this conversation, and we still have a few more Operation Recall concept creator interviews ahead of us. Keep an eye on Operation Recall. It's coming along strong, and there's a lot of great things to see and experience while we wait for these figures to show up at our front door. I didn't even know that we would need to run it up the chain, because we were just talking about toys. When you and I started talking, I was very laissez-faire. I'm just like, fuck it, let's go, let's do it. We'll
same
talk for 5 minutes or 5 hours. It doesn't matter, whatever. And then when you start talking about, well, mom and dad won't let us play, I'm making every concession I can, like, invite your superior, I'll send them an edit. I promise not to ask any questions, you know, like.
Well, that was the only worry that I had, was like, once I committed to doing it and I knew I was going to do the interview, I was just like you. I was raring to go. Let's do this. Let's talk about it for a while. Like, I want to help it move in a forward progress direction any way that I can. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, wait, I'm not in the Boy Scouts. I got to ask my dad if I can go out and play, you know? So the time period between, yeah, let's do this, and today has just been every day. I've been calling and emailing and trying to get a yes answer. My anxiety goes up because, you know, in the past, talking about Joe is like, it's not always been that popular on the playground, and you get your ass kicked for talking about it. Oh, we're on to, you know, if you're not Power Rangers, you ain't shit. Like, oh, okay. You kind of cringe away. And now it's amazing that later in my 30s, I was able to come back around and I'm talking to adults and other guys in the service like, oh, you're in Joe too? I love Joe. And they start talking about it. It's like, everybody likes it. This is cool.
That's awesome.
I wouldn't have gotten my ass kicked, you know?
You know, speaking of like running into guys in the military that are into Joe, Larry Hama has said more than once that at conventions and shows, people have come up to him and said, I joined the military because of G.I. Joe. He is very like, well, that wasn't my intention. I'm sorry. Because he was also in, right?
He always said that he drew on a lot of his experience in the service with Joe. Like, hey, there's an army guy in the building and he's drawing up the figures. Well, he knows what fatigue pants are supposed to look like. He knows what a helmet's supposed to look like. You know, not everything's going to look like Battle Force 2000. It's going to look more like Footloose. And that's the military side of it. And then the fantasy side of it, like the Mega Marines, and we're fighting in space now and there's space robots and monsters. Oh, well, that's taken a little bit further. But rooted in the military side of Joe is really what appealed to me as a kid. You know, when I was A's age and younger and hearing it and seeing it, also having my dad in, that helped a lot. And it helped push me toward the military. I didn't join till I was 27.
Oh, wow.
I started working in a factory when I graduated school, and I spent a long time just kind of living under a rock as technology and other things moved forward and guys were talking about smartphones and Wi-Fi. And I was like, where's the next deer rifle? Where's the next pile of wood I've got to go cut? I need a bigger truck. I shunned society and technology for a good long time just because I got sick of people talking about it. When I got back into it, I'm like, wow, everything's right here, right at my fingertips. I can look up whatever I want. And of course, looking up Joe and getting back into it a time or two, I've come into it and gone out of it several times, but never given it up. It's just, it's sat in a box for a while and then I open it back up and I get back into it.
So do you still have your childhood Joes?
Yes.
Oh, see, that's nice. Did you do the comics as well, or were you more cartoon than comics?
Oof. It started off as figures and vehicles.
Without media? Well, you're also 10 years younger than me, so you came in at a different time.
Yeah, I got into Joe probably 90, 91.
So you had Deke as your cartoon.
I did.
If you were even watching it.
So I was in outside of Jacksonville, Florida when I was a kid. I was born in Pennsylvania. Dad was in the Navy, so he was stationed in Jacksonville and lived in base housing for a good long time. And I had his old 13-inch black and white TV from his barracks days. I grew up watching Joe on a 13-inch TV because he used to watch Joe on Saturday mornings eating Cheerios and like everybody else. But, you know, it was the 80s and he was in the service and there was nothing else to do on a Saturday when you were, you know, a broke E1 living in the barracks. So when he and my mom got married and we were all a family, he was like, "Oh, you're into Joe?" I was like, "Yeah," because I had two or three figures. I'd always go with mom to the store. She'd go grocery shopping and she'd just leave me alone in the toy aisle because I would just stay right there focused.
Absolutely.
And I'd look through all the figures and maybe grab one that I wanted. And if we had a couple extra bucks, I was like, "Yeah, sure, throw it in the cart." I was the youngest. I got the easier part of it. My two older sisters didn't give a damn. You know, as long as it kept me out of their hair, they were fine with it. And as long as it kept me contained in the store, my mom had no problem buying it. Here's, you know, $2 or $3. Let's go do it. Watching the program, watching the show, watching the cartoon. That's where I got in with my dad. And he was like, "Oh, you're into Joe?" Like, "Yeah." He's like, "I know what you're getting for your birthday." Real easy segue. Like, "Hey, this kid likes Joe. He's like turtles." Not turtles as much. I kind of started with them, but then I saw the toys and I really didn't dig the toys as much. It was too much fantasy even as a kid. And then I started seeing my dad come home in fatigues and it was Desert Storm. So there was, you know, he was in BDUs and he was in the desert camis and sometimes he'd be in his flight suit. Sometimes he'd be in his utilities, the chambray, like Shipwreck.
Yeah.
He'd be dressed like Shipwreck coming home. He'd be dressed like Footloose coming home. He'd be dressed like 93 Duke coming home.
That's incredible.
So I'd see that and then I'd see it in the stores. And I was like, "That's my dad. Let's do this."
So, so good. That's incredible. I love that. That's cool. So with as much moving around as you did, and you were able to like hold on to Joe's as you were moving because you had a parent that was invested with you. I think that's really neat. So when did you drop out of Joe?
Probably when they dropped off of store shelves.
So that 95, 96?
Yeah, 95, 96. I remember the one of the best Christmases I had, I got the 3 3/4 classic packs with the Action Sailor, the Action Marine,
yeah,
Action Pilot. I can't for the life of me right now remember what they were called, but I had all of them for Christmas one year and I kept a hold of them. I kept them in the box for a good long time and then I couldn't resist it. The box started to open on its own a little bit. So I started playing with them.
We have army built those because, you know, there are no, like, there were green shirts in the cartoon, but there's no green shirts in G.I. Joe. So, and Steel Brigade's too expensive to army build too hard.
And Grunt's a named character, so.
That's the amazing part to me, getting back into it later on, is that all the people that stayed in it or got back into it doing troop builds, something I never imagined as a kid. And now there's thousands of green shirts and bats and all these different Vipers running around and people just have masses of these figures laying around and doing troop builds with them. I was happy to have one Viper. I was like, "Oh, that's my one Viper. That's my one Cobra Commander. That's my one Destro." But I got out of it kind of, I never completely got out of it. It's always, like I said, been in a box in the corner. But as far as getting a lot of figures or having a lot of vehicles around, I always kept them safe. I always kept them in boxes, totes, whatever I could find, stealing from my sister, stealing from my dad, whatever. And after a while, I got into going out in yard sales and flea markets and anywhere I could find them. And I'd dig through a box and they'd be a nickel, you know, two or three figures here and there. And I just throw them in the figure box. And I never went through to see what I had doubles or triples of until just after moving up here. This is my third duty station active duty now. So it's my third PCS. And this time it's my wife and I with a house full of stuff. We're moving box after box after box of Joe. And I'm like, I cannot keep doing this. I've got, you know, another 12, 13 years until I can think about retirement. I've got to downsize. I've got to do something. So I started going through and cataloging everything. Fortunately enough, around the corner in New Egypt, New Jersey, there's a flea market in New Egypt, New Jersey. And in it is a store called Mike's Toy Chest. And it's Mike Reed. He's helped me a lot in recent times. Gave me the information and the knowledge of, like, hey, make lists, go through your stuff, bag it up, write everything down and see what you have, what you don't want, what you want to trade. I will trade you. Full of information, has helped me downsize my collection substantially and get rid of stuff that I didn't need, stuff that I had six or seven of. He'll sell them on eBay to people doing troop builds. He'll do his own troop builds with them. He'll do whatever needs done. Complete figures, put them back out in the store. And for that, I'll get, you know, a fully loose bagged figure that I couldn't have found in you know, 10 years of looking. He's got it right there. Bam. Hey, you want to trade three of these loose ones for one? Absolutely.
So he hasn't really helped you downsize. He's helped you focus.
Yeah. He's helped me cherry pick the ones that I want and put them in the right box.
We have so much. But because most of what we have is in the play pile, we army build not because we're trying to like make a nice shelf, but because we might need four or five Vipers or four or five Troopers. Or G.I. Joe is a weirdly lopsided toy line. There's way more Joes than there are Cobra, but all of Cobras are troops.
Yeah.
So there should be like 17 times more Cobra than there are Troopers or Joes. So it's nice for A to have all those.
I'm just glad that the younger generation is getting back into it, because for a long time there was no interest in it. And now every time I get an Operation Recall, which is it's sparse because I'm very, very busy. So I'm on there very, very rarely. I try and keep up with like the wave tops of it, and I don't dive too deep. But I'm glad to see that the kids are back into it. The sons and the nephews, and I'm sure there's some girls out there that are into it. I haven't met very many.
There definitely are. I've met a few.
At least the kids are getting back into it in some form or fashion, and I'm glad to see that.
Having the opportunity to go to shows, I do see some of the younger girls that are into it. And it's excellent. We need everybody involved, not just you and I. So that's kind of the funny thing when you're talking about downsizing your Joes and realizing like you have too much to move for 13 more years before you can settle. And at the same time, you see a call out by Carson and you were like, well, yeah, of course I'm going to throw in on this. And now you have more toys coming. Was Alpha Dog, which is Salty Dog now, right?
I believe so. From everything I've seen, the name is changed.
Was Alpha Dog your only submission?
Yes.
Really? The one and done's kill me, man, because you really put it all into one shot and then it lands. You got a good shot with that one bullet.
Well, I try to approach it the same way that I approach my evals. You get a list of stuff that you have to do to put in there. And some of the other military guys will know what I'm talking about, where you're, oh, it's eval time. Got to put everything you did for the last year on a piece of paper. Carson put out, hey, this is what I'm looking for. If you can draw a rough sketch, if you can give some background, if you can put these things in here, basically write up a file card of some sort. I was like, oh, I'll pull out two or three file cards and see how they go and kind of loosely base it on myself, but not make it obvious that I'm, you know, this guy, and make it as detailed as I could. Even with a half-assed terrible drawing, at least the information was there. The meat was there for them to make the figure. And I was just humbled beyond words to have been chosen. I really thought that I'd throw it in there and it would be like anything else. Like, yeah, we'll see. We'll call you. Text in the mail, something. And then I forget whether it was the email or the call that I got from Carson. I think it was an email. I damn near deleted it. I thought that it was spam. The military teaches you to have a healthy level of paranoia when it comes to emails and calls and stuff like that. So I was like, this doesn't look well. Maybe it does. Well, no, this doesn't look well. Maybe it does. And I opened it. I looked at it. Congratulations, you've been chosen. I was like, I'll be damned. There's going to be a CB Joe. Finally, they got close with Tollbooth. They got real close with a couple of figures looking like a CB, but they never actually made one.
Right.
So I'm glad to have been chosen and to be representing the CB community in it, in something that I love and something that's given me a lot of joy over the years.
And CBs are enormously important, at least in, you know, like when you think about World War II and Korea, Vietnam, you don't hear about them as much today. But then again, I don't know how many books have been written about the last 5 years. There's a lot of books written about the older wars. So so I think it's great that we have one. It is surprising we didn't have one sooner with how they were basing everything off of Vietnam, Korea, you know, that early Cold War stuff. With modern Joe, with the 4-inch Joe, we did get a couple wrenches. You know, now we have the ability to get more equipment, more world building stuff without having to figure out how to 3D print it ourselves. We're going to get it in a toy line, manufactured, and it's coming with a cool character. When we're talking, we're very far down the line. You know, you've seen out of Mark and Ron chose your figure. Ron wanted to play in that space. How does that feel for you coming into it? You got the two people that were designing Joe's right before you got in are the two people that are now designing this. And not just those two, but the first guy is your guy.
Like I said, I'm humbled beyond words to have somebody look at my terrible drawing and read through all my paperwork that I did, just writing it on a sketching out on notebook paper and seeing what I was trying to get across. And maybe the light bulb in their head went off. Hey, there never has been a CB Joe. Maybe we should do one. With all the figures that they've had a hand in putting out, to have been chosen was awesome. I'm sure that they've had 1,000 ideas come across their table and through their head in all the years that they were supporting Joe and building Joe's, creating things for us to play with. And to have one come across and somebody puts their finger on it and say, yeah, that one. I'm very touched.
How did the ideation process land for you? Because you're watching something that you're very passionate about and is based in a definitive realism being handled by someone who loves the realistic side, but also has to explore the toy side of it. And he's designing these things. So this one is very real. The next one has robotic pieces on it. And how did that come across for you when it was all said and done?
I like what they've done with it. I like being able to give somebody a rough draft of something and letting the artists be the artists and put their take on it. To be able to give somebody an idea and have them put the magic to it and put it on a page and then put it into a figure, I'm just glad to have been able to give somebody the idea, because I damn sure couldn't have drawn it myself.
Sure.
And whatever liberties they feel like taking, if, they added a toolkit. I always said there should be a toolkit or a toolbox.
Yeah.
Inside that toolkit or that toolbox is going to be any number of things. Just because he's carrying a big pipe wrench doesn't mean he's a plumber. He's going to whale you in the temple with that if you're, talking the wrong way because you're in the middle of a fight.
Blunt force trauma is blunt force trauma. Let's be fair.
Very, very true. There's the point gets across much quicker with blunt force trauma.
So it sounds like you were very open to the process, even though the seed is something you were passionate about. This is a toy. This is in the hands of not a CB. Did you have the same openness when it came to the color studies that we just went through?
So I haven't gotten a chance to sit down and see all the color studies yet. I'm sure that just like any other figure, there's colors that they're going to throw in there. Just like throwing it at the wall, seeing if it's going to stick. Or, hey, we want to throw this wild coloration in and just see what everybody thinks of it. Or maybe one's just a filler that they know nobody's going to vote for, or nobody's going to go for it. I would like to see it stay more true to the military with a few added pieces of gear thrown in that are off-colored. Because we've never gone into battle, I don't think since NOM, we've gone into battle in any form or faction with a completely matching uniform. There's always stuff left over. There's always discoloration. You'll get a BDU flak jacket when you're in the desert. And yeah, that makes sense. Your mock gear is going to be from the early mid 80s when you're in digital camouflage. Well, this is the practice stuff. The real stuff you'll get in wartime. Oh, okay. I'll feel better about that when I have it. So it's very true to form. You're going to have uniform on one hand and then mismatched stuff that they hand you to use on the other. There's always a little bit of difference in it. So the toy world and the real world, they can be mirror images of each other in that aspect.
That's very cool. Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of the Operation Recall group, a lot of people are coming at it as let's lean more realistic. But looking at Kirk's notes so far, he's pushing very toyetic. So it'll be interesting when the middle ground is landed on and he sees the whole line together, he might go, oh no, I don't like that at all. Or this one is too close to an actual G.I. Joe. So I'm curious to see how it lands. I was noticing there's three characters that are basically all black. And out of those three, none of them stayed all black. But cadavers stayed the most black and dark grays, whereas Shh and Dark Reapers have more colors mixed in. And so they're clearly looking at this from not just a one character or two character, but from a whole line perspective. And I'm really curious, when the dust is settled, what Salty Dog will look like. For now, have you been able to pause all the stuff and read the file card that Larry wrote for you?
I haven't yet. basically, since we talked about starting to do the podcast, everything in my career is kind of ramped up.
Well, congratulations there.
Thank you. It's a lot of responsibility, but I've been able to dance around and do as much as I could, not leaving a whole lot of room for hobbies right now. When I get a chance to sit down and read it, I'll sit down and read it. I'll make some time, carve out some time. I'm sure there's a fine line between what the content creators wanted, what they wanted to see, and then the experts coming in and saying, well, this is what's going to sell. This is what's going to do the best on a shelf. You have to let go of the leash and let the experts take over at some point, because they know their business. They know what they're doing. It's like drawing up a piece of flash for a tattoo and handing it to somebody and, hey, this is roughly what I want. And they do the artwork with it. Let them be the artists. I've got no problem giving them the reins and letting them handle it. They're obviously better at it than I am.
Well, I mean, these are the living legends for a reason. I personally love the philosophy that you're coming into this with, because as you said, like, nothing has remained as originally intended. Everything has gotten that touch. Even the experts of Ron and Mark, Kirk is on top of them and saying this and that, none of this, more of this. I very much believe and trust the process. And with Alpha Dog, one of the things, I keep calling him Alpha Dog. I think it's Salty Dog now.
It's fine. I wish it would have stayed Alpha Dog. I'll say that much. I don't know why they changed it. It was Alpha Dog for a reason, but I'm sure they had their own reasons.
Well, they've changed a few names. You know, Supply Run was also a great name, but he's now Scrounger. Dark Reapers had a different name. When I talked to both Scott and to Joe, you know, Supply Run and Run Back at one point were combined and then uncombined. So there's been some really hefty changes throughout this whole line. I mean, just my opinion, but I think the heart of the submissions remain. Hopefully at the end of this, everyone is happier than they are not. And, you know, what I told A when we submitted, and, you know, the first time we saw Mark's sketches, was that we should be at like 80-20. Like 80% of this is hell yeah. And 20% is like, ah, it's all right. You know, or I wouldn't have done that, because at least that 20% opens the door for other people that don't share our 100% aesthetic, and the 80% is for us. It sounds like you are already in sort of that zone. Once these are in hand, are you leaving them all carded, or are we going to open and play? Career depending.
No matter what happens in my career, most of them are going to stay in the package.
Okay.
But there's one that's going to come out.
Excellent.
There's at least one that's going to come out, and he's going to be battle ready. He's going to get played with. If I ever end up with a desk position or moved up to the point where I have my own desk, he's probably going to go on there. I've definitely reached back to a few CBs that I knew that were cool with the Joe stuff, that I could kind of talk in secret. Hey, let's talk about Joe for a little bit, and told them about it. And they're over the moon. Just, yeah, where do I get a figure? I have no idea yet. They're not even out. I don't even have one yet, man. When they're out, I will let you know.
If you send them the Kickstarter link.
Okay.
So I would 100% send it out to everyone you know that wants one. It's going to be a year before we get it, but it's coming. Operation Recall is using one of the same factories that several other independent lines use. We've gotten toys from these factories before. Kirk is not brand new. Ron and Mark are not brand new. They're not going to let this and their reputation die on the vine. Now, granted, your buddies may not know all that, but you do, and so send them the link. I'm excited to see this show up on other people's desks and other people's collections, especially if within your community, people are excited for it. You know, these are very serious people in serious jobs doing something at a very serious, like, worldwide level, and that they're excited to be represented in this way. I mean, really, it speaks to how long it's been since they should have been, but also, you know, that's very cool.
As you said earlier, the CB community, they don't get a whole lot of notoriety. They don't look for a whole lot of notoriety, but they also don't receive very much. They do a lot in the background. They do a lot behind the scenes, a lot of things that people don't see. On top of that, they're a very small community within the Navy. Just very, very similar to how Joe is such a small portion of the toy community. the Seabees are the, we're fat Marines. We're the redheaded bastards of, you know, stepchildren of the Navy. We're not out there. We're not flying jets. We're not driving battleships. We're the guys pouring concrete next to a dumpster somewhere. And we do our jobs. We do it humbly. And we don't ask for much, but to be represented in a toy line like this, it's got so much history behind it, similar to how we do. And a lot of people remember picking up Joes and playing with them. It'll be awesome to have somebody be able to meet those two worlds up and have one riding on their desk or one riding in their collection. And they can point at it and say, hey, a CB made it, a CB got it done, and here it sits.
A CB got it done. Isn't that your guys' motto?
Our motto is can do.
Can do. So this just tells me that more than getting a CB out there, we need a CB with some chipped paint and dirt stuck in the foot pegs. This is a toy that needs to be outside playing.
He should be. He definitely should be. And I think that, you know, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. If there's a second CB that comes out, it ought to be the operator for whatever vehicle comes out on the second line.
There you go.
Because that would round out Alpha Company. And that's why I named him Alpha Dog, because he's straight from Alpha Company. The CB battalions are broken up into four different companies, traditionally in a battalion. You have Alpha Company with your construction mechanics and your equipment operators, the drivers and the mechanics. Your Bravo and Charlie types are your plumbers, your electricians, your engineering aides, your builders, and your steel workers.
Jesus.
There's seven jobs, and this is one of them. There's seven more toy lines that could come out with a different CB if they want to keep this going, and we would be more than proud to have them. Alpha Company, notoriously, if you talk to any other CBs down the road, they're some of the hardest working cats you're ever going to come across in the military. Being a mechanic, being an operator, usually a very thankless job. Good job fixing it. Here's another one.
And I'm sure none of those young Navy or Army or whomever, those young Marines, I'm sure they're not taking it easy on your equipment.
No, no. The equipment gets road hard and put away wet. When somebody's looking, they go the speed limit. But most of the pieces of equipment are built for that. They're built to be tough. That's why we have them. And they stand up to quite a bit of abuse, but that's why we have good, talented mechanics in there. They know how to fix the shit that breaks. And it unfortunately does break on a regular basis. We got to fix it. So getting it back out there, getting it back to doing what it was intended to do is why we're around. And we take a lot of pride in being able to get it back out on the road. And we can drive it as well as fix it. But the operators are a very special class of people themselves. They can put things in places you wouldn't ordinarily think they'd go and bring them back out covered in mud, still doing the job, and pointing at the front wheel going, hey, fix this. All right, bring it in. And fortunately, most of the time that we're out doing stuff, there's not a whole lot of bullets flying. But when they do fly, we pick the rifle up, we go to battle, we get it done, we put it back, and we go back to fixing shit, building shit.
Just because you do A doesn't mean you're not able to do B.
Exactly. There's a myriad of things that we are very well trained on how to do. We get out there and we do them, and we don't ask for much on the way out.
And I know that Salty Dog is coming with at least something. Like, he's coming with a rifle, I believe, right?
Yes.
He's coming with hardware. It's a cool looking figure. He's going to be a lot of fun to play with. Looking at him, he's got a little bit of the gung-ho in him where he's got the open vest, but he's got knee pads. He's got the boots on. It looks like the type of character that, as you just said, can do a myriad of things, but his main job is fixing and building. Looking at the colors that, for now, have been chosen, it does look like he stayed a bit on the realistic side. Brown boots, green fatigues, black rifle, red pipe wrench, that kind of thing.
Yep.
I am always going to hope for a little more fantasy, but this one is very grounded, and it looks like he's staying very grounded. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know if you've had the time to listen to Kirk or Ron or Carson talk about this line specifically, but their goals military-wise in general. And they're very much in honoring the military side of it and those that serve. Seeing the colors and seeing that they're keeping them a little more realistic, seeing that they're representing a CB, you know, it feels very much in their purview and what their underlying goals are for you guys. You know, if there is a round two of Operation Recall with a second, are you going to be pushing your G.I. Joe military friends to put in?
I will definitely put a bug in your ear if they want to. Seeing as how I kind of won the lottery, they might want to buy a few tickets. They might have a few ideas rolling around their heads. Or they may just give the ideas to me since I'm already kind of in the pipeline with it. Be like, hey, can you send this up? You got chosen once. You think you lightning could strike again?
You know, and I don't know if they're going to do a round two, right? Like, we still haven't gotten round one in hand. Round one hasn't even gotten to the factory. But in watching, you know, what Call Sign Longbow and Skeletron and all of these other groups are doing, they're much faster in the design process. It's on the computer. It's a smaller group. They don't have all of you guys to touch base with. And so even though this is a slower design process, it still feels very fast. And they are, and I say they, but Carson is kind of the point person for all of you guys. He is hitting you guys with a lot more than upfront he said he would. So I'm sorry that you've not been able to keep up with how your job's been busy. So I hope that you get an opportunity to kind of read through and experience all of that, get caught up and rejoin. One of the things that I was very excited for was that Alexander was in here for a moment before he went to eat dinner so that you got to see each other and meet each other, because he's one of you. I'm not. I'm just the guy with the mic. And I do hope, you know, if you're up in the Northeast, there's plenty of shows that go on up there that are good Joe heavy shows. But down in Augusta is Joe Fest. This year, a number of the concept creators showed up. They weren't here last year. Shit went wild last year. And so they all showed up this year. And so I'm hoping that you and the others that couldn't can next year. Next year's the 60th anniversary of G.I. Joe.
So unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it. I was away on orders. I had a school to do in Minnesota. I was there for a good 3 weeks getting my butt kicked. And I was able to do a little bit of Joe shopping while I was there. But that was when I was staying in contact with you. You were telling me about Joe Fest and where it was geographically. By the time I got home, I wasn't going to be able to get there.
Yeah.
It was just too much too fast. And hopefully next year I'll be able to make the time and go. Like you said, up here in the Northeast, there is a myriad of shows that are going around. And Mike usually keys me into him whenever I talk to him. I kind of go up there on Sundays and it's my barbershop. I talk to him and get filled in.
I was just talking to Joel about shows that happened in the Northeast and, you know, maybe next year finding time for me to come up to a show or two, because I love going to shows. I probably go to too many. Calling Mike's shop your barbershop, I think that's a really apt analogy. And I treat this is church, this is barbershop, this is family picnic, all of that 100% applies to how I view and treat comic book and toy shows. Like, taking it back to Joe's, since you grew up with the second half of A-Raw, did you get into 12-inch Joe's when the 90s re-releases started popping off? Or did you have, either from your dad or from uncles or anybody, give you any 12-inch? Or were you strictly a 3 3/4 kid?
Strictly 3 3/4.
Were you able to carry that into the, like, did you get back into it at all in the middle years, like Spy Troops, Valor versus Venom, the blue 2-packs and stuff like that?
There were a few that I would pick up. When I go to a new store somewhere in a new area, I habitually go down the toy aisle to see if there's any Joes hanging. When I was a kid, I found 4 original 82 3 3/4 still hanging with the original price tag at a Western Auto in Espyville, Pennsylvania.
At a Western Auto?
Western Auto.
Okay.
Which is probably why they had been hanging since 82, 83.
Sure.
And I bought all 4. And that wired it into my brain. Hey, every time you go into a new store, check the toy aisle. You never know what you're going to find.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And since about the age of 10, I've gone down the toy aisle in every new store that I've gone to. And I've picked up probably a healthy mix of anything that was there. The Valor versus Venom, the Spy Troops, the little single pack, single figure ones that were in blister packs at dollar stores.
Oh, yeah.
Basically anything I could wrap my mitts on.
Are you into the 4-inch modern architecture then, or?
I am in some aspect. The 25th anniversary 3 3/4 that came back out, I was stationed in Germany at the time and just living in a barracks room. I had, you know, disposable money and I had a smartphone and knew how to use it. So just about every payday, I would go through Amazon and I would find, hey, I want this figure. And they would be, you know, you could tell in the package, they weren't 3 3/4. They were 4 inch, but the blister packs were the same. The flash art on the back was the same. The file cards were the same. They had new figures that you could tell they thought up and they had always wanted to make, but they couldn't due to whatever restriction. And I bought those probably 2 or 3 every payday. I go through and cherry pick the ones that I wanted. And I'm sure they don't all match. They're from different series here and there. But if I saw it and it caught my eye, I'd pick it up. Unfortunately, my wife has been a very understanding, very supportive spouse. I can't say enough good things about her. When she finally saw how many toys I had, it was very similar to her seeing how many guns I had, because she's originally from Germany and guns are not much of a thing. Toys are not much of a thing.
Sure.
When she saw how many hobbies I was into over the years and just how much stuff there was, she's been 1,000% in my corner. She's like, if it makes you happy, let's do it.
Guns are expensive. And if you store them properly, they take up a lot of room. Toys can be expensive. And no matter how you store them, they take up a lot of room.
They do. They do.
Your wife being German, the culture is so much different. What does she collect? And does she collect at like this sort of level? Or is she more of like a minimalist type of person?
She's more into interior decorating and shoes.
Okay.
Her thing is shoes.
Everybody collects something.
When I first met her, she was really heavy into roller derby. So skates and skate gear everywhere, helmets and gym bags and whatever she needed, it was there. But that stuff was always kicking around a corner somewhere.
That's fantastic.
She doesn't really collect much. She likes to walk into an empty room and flesh it out and design it in her head, put furniture together, put wall art together. No, it's this lamp. It's that chair. And by the time she's done with it, it looks like, wow. She used to design the displays for IKEA when she worked for IKEA in Germany. And she's a visual merchandiser. She knows how to do all that stuff. She knows all the formulas and the how to make things look good on the wall, how to make it all look good so that you're going to buy it. And it doesn't just look like a furniture store puked up. She knows all the science behind it. And she is probably at some point going to help me with some of my dioramas. When I get to the point where I can stop and display all this stuff, I want her to come in and tell me how I should do it. And I think that she will.
So you can build it. She can display it between the two of you. That sounds amazing. I would love to have somebody help me display my toys in a much better fashion. But, you know, I'm still fighting the almost 12-year-old of, look at this nice display. Well, we got to take it down for a battle. Well, okay. You know, I'm not complaining at all. It's more fun seeing the battle than seeing the display for me.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But it sounds like you have a nice secret weapon with your wife as your partner. Moving around a lot, when you're always the new kid, you know, I know from experience, like that takes its toll. So you become very good at making new friends, or you get very good at playing by yourself, or both. So having a dad that helped you with that must have been incredible.
It was great because I could pick up a figure that I wanted in the store and have him read the file card, and he could tell me whether it was on point or fantasy. He could tell me what the ranks meant. If he read a city on the back of a file card, he could say, hey, that's in Idaho. I know where that's at. Hey, that's in Missouri. I've been through there. Bringing all of it back to reality is something that Joe's always been. Joe's always been all-inclusive. Everybody was in Joe. There was men, there was women, there was all races, all backgrounds. Everyone was always represented. And if you flip the figure around, you could read about them. And sometimes there'd be quotes there from somebody else or from them themselves. So much more personal of a toy line than... I'm not going to dig on anybody else, but you pick up a Star Wars figure and you look at it. You pick up a He-Man figure and you look at it. There's no personal connection. And with Joe, you always felt like you knew the guy that you were going to go play with in the sandbox. And that meant a lot more to me growing up than just being off in fantasy land. My parents are very, very rooted in the here and now and like, hey, what are we going to take care of? What's real? Not something that's out there floating in space. And Joe helped keep me rooted to the ground. And they had no problem with it.
This has been an Operation Recall Order of Battle.